I don't know how often this happens to anyone else, but frequently I get a song stuck in my head and I can't get rid of it. And very often it's one that I really wish would go away. But lately I have had a song, the lyrics to a song, stuck in my head, and it's actually one of my favorites, and I think it's one of the most beautiful pop songs out there. It's something called Vincent. A lot of people know it as Starry, Starry Night, and it is a song that is about the artist Vincent van Gogh. There are some lines in there that are just, to me, are breathtaking, and I don't really mind having them stuck in my head lately. In the song, the songwriter says, "Now I think I know what you tried to say to me, how you tried to set them free. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you." I've been reading a lot about Van Gogh lately, and apparently that song is very true to his life. He was one who struggled to live in this world because he had a higher view of what humans should be. He really had a sense of the divine. And in fact, in a letter to his brother, he wrote these words: "The best way of knowing God is to love many things. You must love with a sublime, genuine, profound sympathy, with devotion, with intelligence." He went on to say, "You must try all the time to understand God more, better, and yet more. That will lead to God. That will lead to an unshakable faith." So he said he was too good for this world, in the sense that he said, you find God by loving others. Now the song tells us something that the quote may not make that obvious, which is that to love in this world is not some fluffy goodness and light thing, because to love in this world often brings pain, it brings risk, it brings suffering to the one who chooses to love. To love in a world ruled by competition and self-interest is to make a hard and frightening choice, a choice with great risk. Jesus, in today's gospel and in many stories of the New Testament, chooses to love those who are around him. And very often he loves persons to such a degree that it gets him in trouble with the rest of the culture, the rest of the society, and with the authorities. He chose to love, as the letter from Van Gogh said, with genuine, profound sympathy, with devotion. Jesus made many choices to love others. As in today's gospel, when he chose to feed thousands of people he didn't even know. Now, the world and the political system of the time would have said that they were somebody else's responsibility. They're somebody else's problem. That's their problem if they're hungry. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Jesus made that choice to take care of other people, something that would be later articulated by Van Gogh in his letter. Jesus chose to love God and to make God visible by loving others. He made that choice consistently, and ultimately that choice got him killed. I'm reading a book called Convictions, which talks about the reasons that Jesus died and why the cross is important in the life of faith. In that book, the author says Jesus didn't just die, he was executed. He would become a public critic of the authorities and the way they put the world together, proclaiming a way of life that challenged and countered the kingdom of exploitation and violence. Jesus chose to live in a world which is generally ruled by exploitation and violence, but he chose in that place to love. This world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. The book Convictions goes on to say that it's important to see Jesus' dying and rising as the what they call an archetype of a radical transformation, a dying to an old way of being and being raised, reborn into a whole new way of being. Now, this new way of being for those oppressed in the Roman Empire was meant no longer being afraid of the authorities, of physical intimidation. It meant no longer relying on the empire and the government for sustenance and guidance, but finding a sustenance straight from the hands of God that takes power away from the establishment. The meaning of the cross, ultimately then, is that when we love, we escape all bonds of earthly power and fear. Now, throughout the Gospels, we'll see many reasons that are given for Jesus's arrest and execution. One, of course, is the episode where he cleanses the temple. And after his outburst in the temple, where he turns over the tables, the scripture says, "And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching." Jesus threatened to turn the world upside down, and in that process, the authorities would lose their power. Now, we can understand the authorities, especially the religious authorities, being upset when Jesus cleansed the temple, because he was challenging overtly the status quo. But other times, there are also mentions of the authorities wanting to get rid of him. One is with the raising of Lazarus, his friend. How can they be threatened by the raising of Lazarus? But the scripture says this: "So the chief priests and the Pharisees said, 'What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation.'" Caiaphas, one of the authorities, would tell them later that Jesus must be executed, or the nation they had built, the nation in which those Roman authorities had power, would face political extinction. In the Beatitudes, Jesus completely challenges our popular notion that worldly wealth and status are signs of God's favor. And immediately after he gives that sermon, he further challenges our way of thinking by saying, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." He was turning the world upside down. I know you have heard, as I have, our friend John Jenkins preach about Jesus being on the cross and looking at his executioners and saying, "Though you kill me, I love you still." In those words, he spoke of love, but what he also said was that you no longer have power over me, because I choose to love no matter what you do. This world didn't like that idea, didn't like that change. This world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. And even something as seemingly innocuous as feeding thousands of people would become evidence of the threat that this man posed to the status quo. Jesus' arrest and execution ultimately are not about food and healing and temples, but about wresting power from the hands of the fearsome authorities. Matthew tells this story in today's gospel so that it takes place immediately after the execution of John the Baptist. The story begins now: "When Jesus heard this," this being the news of John's execution, "he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself." I believe this is Matthew's way of telling us that we are to think of this miraculous story in the context of Jesus's friction with the existing power authorities and power structure. We're talking about loaves and fishes, about feeding people. How can anyone see that as a threat? But to love those who are not our worldly responsibility means we are turning the world upside down. To love in this world is not fluff. It's not goodness and light. It is a choice that brings risk and pain and suffering to the one who loves, and yet it sets that person free. And words which can describe the beautiful soul of Vincent van Gogh only begin to describe the misfit Jesus and the threat he brought to this world of ours. Now I think I know what you tried to say to me, how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they're not listening still. Perhaps they never will. Will we listen? Are we willing to be misfits, to incur the wrath of this world in order to love? Because if we do, we will incur this world's anger and resentment and even violence in some form. That's what will happen if we believe in the cross, because it is a threat to the way of thinking of our life. If we choose to love, we choose to risk. We face radical transformation. We die to ourselves and our former standards and embrace a way of life that threatens not only our understanding of who we are personally, but the status quo. Now I think I know what you tried to say to me. But I'd like to think that now I am listening, Lord Jesus. I am willing to risk to bring your kingdom to this earth. I do believe that God's kingdom will come to this earth, because I know that ultimately this world is meant for one as beautiful as you. Amen.